Welcome back to the Love University on the campus of Triad Christian Center with your host and instructor, Pastor Joshua Lockett. You have just enrolled in our brand new series entitled Game Changers, the Grace and Mercy Experience. Let's tune in.
Father, I thank you. Father, be honored, be glorified, be lifted up. Be honored, be glorified, and be lifted up. Jesus, thank you for all. We go down memory lane. We can think about all the good things you've already done for us. And Lord, I pray today that we will remember your faithfulness. We will remember your goodness. We will remember your kindness. We will remember your grace, Father. I pray for that on this morning. Father, I thank you for that right now. You are good and you are faithful and your mercy endure forever. And Father, I pray right now that you're releasing upon us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of the heart will be flooded with light, that we would know things concerning you today, Father. I pray for that right now, that every loud, distracting, confusing spirit that would try to come and steal the seed of your word, I pray even now it will be broken off of this service in the name of Jesus. Depression broken, worry broken, anxiety broken, confusion broken, perversion broken, error broken in the name of Jesus. Every dark spirit broken in the name above all names, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, and Lord, I praise you for the victory right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you right now. Come on, if you're believing that you already have victory, give a shout of praise to the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. I thank you. Father, I praise you. And I lift you up right now in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said amen. Thank you for joining us today. We are on a Game Changer series, and we're talking about God's grace and mercy. If you know anybody that needs to hear about God's grace and mercy, go and encourage them to come on today. We're talking about God's grace, and so I want to encourage you to connect and share. Glory to God. Amen. And I just want to encourage you all, don't take this the wrong way, but I believe more than ever we really need Jesus. And I say that from the standpoint whether it looks like it or it doesn't look like it. Sometimes when corona's in your face, you say, I really need Jesus, but you always really need Jesus. And just because things are lifting doesn't mean we still should not be dependent on him. Come on now. We should not be praying. We should not be seeking his face. Amen. We should not live in a place of humility. So I want to encourage you just to stay with the Lord, stay close to him, even as things, quote unquote, are going back to a normal. I want you to stay in his presence. Amen. So with that being said, I want to get into the word on today. And in just a little bit, you should be seeing the outline come out. Just want to simply talk about identity today. Great game changers. If you're joining for the first time, we're talking about identity and actually game changer series. And today we're going to be talking about identity specifically. I've been talking about it throughout, you know, the course of these last couple of messages. One of the things that I talked about in one of the messages up until this point is I talked about feelings and opinions and what we see determining or dictating how we perceive ourselves, our identity. And I think it's very critical to understand that in today's world, and I know I might startle a couple people with this word, but please don't be offended by what I'm saying. But we're living in a day where I believe we're going through identity crisis. And I think people are struggling with who they are. And by the way, you're more than your race. Amen. You're not just your race. Glory to God. You're more than a race if you are in Christ Jesus. And I believe identity is very critical in this hour. One of the things that one of the first things the devil told Jesus or asked Jesus, or really attacked Jesus with was questioning his identity. He said, if you be the Son of God, then turn this stone into a loaf of bread. Towards the latter part of that same temptation, that cycle of temptation, it was a cycle, he said, if you be the Son of God, jump off of this temple. He questioned his identity again. When Jesus is on the cross, they tell him, they say, if you be the Son of God, get off the cross. They try to remove him from the place of his purpose. They question his identity. You talk about questioning identity. Today we have different terms where we say we're questioning, if you know what I mean. We're questioning. Now you have a whole generation that is becoming more and more comfortable with questioning their identity. And it's not okay, even though God has grace for those who are struggling with their identity right now. This is not condemnation. But you can be assured of who you are in Christ Jesus. Because here's the good news, that some of us may have been born a certain way. But the good news is that we can be born again through grace. And that what you started off as, you don't have to end up being. Can I get an amen? Because you have a new nature. You have become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Can I get a loud amen from somebody? So I believe that today we're living in a day where on any given day a person can walk in a male restroom and then the next day they can walk in a female's restroom. Because I believe people are questioning their identity. How close do we need to bring it? Y'all get me? Y'all with me? I'm just telling you, I think we're struggling, some of us, with our identity. And I think even in the church, we're struggling with our identity in Christ. I really think we are. I'm not saying God doesn't love you. I'm not saying you don't pray. I'm not saying you don't read your word. But I want you to understand something. Your identity is powerful in Christ Jesus. And Paul, one of the things he emphasized in the church, when he would talk to the church, he would let them know. He would say, do you know who you are? Do you realize that you're joined with Christ? You're joint partakers in salvation. Do you not know you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? He began to infuse them with identity over and over and over again. You got to know who you are so when that devil raises up his head, you don't think twice about casting him out. Come on now. Because you know who you are. When Jesus started his ministry, one of the first things the Father did, he says, you're my son, my beloved son. He spoke identity over him. Can I get an amen? Identity is key. Why is it that people run the streets? Why is it that people are choosing poor behaviors and poor actions? I believe sometimes just because they don't know who they are. Daddy left. Mama left them. Mama neglected them, and they are being raised by the world. Who is giving you your identity today? You know, music can give identity. Y'all ain't talking to me. Music can tell you how a woman should act. And y'all know there's some women telling other women how to act. Can I get an amen? And there's some men telling some other men how to act and how to be. And they're what are they doing? They're releasing identity, but that's demonic identity. So who is affirming you? Who is speaking identity over you? And I thank God for those who move in affirmations. But let me tell you this, affirmation should be based on the Holy Ghost. I thank God for everyone who speaks positive affirmations over themselves daily, but if it's not based in the Word and the Spirit of God, it's not of God. Can I get an amen? You don't want to speak anything over yourself that God is not calling you. Say amen. Say identity. It's huge. Look at what it says right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. You should have the outline. It says this, as God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. To me, that really means, that can also mean to forget it. Today is Memorial Day weekend, and we're celebrating those who gave their lives in war. Amen. Let's give it up for everyone who did. Amen. Let's give it up for all of those who gave their lives. Amen. While some of us maybe were sitting at home and just eating some Cheetos, they were out there in a real war. Can I get an amen? So thank God for them. But Paul tells us something right here. He says, as God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness, that means grace, and then ignore it. He said, don't accept it and then ignore it. And so what I'm doing in this message today is I'm one of my main cries, and one of the things I'm really provoking us to do today is not to forget what we have in Christ. You'll find out when you read scripture, Paul tells Timothy, he says, in 2 Timothy, I believe, chapter 1, verse 6, he says, fan into flames the gift the Lord has placed in you. Stop. What does that mean? The gift is another name for grace. Anytime we see gifts in scripture, is another term for grace. There are different types of grace. Grace doesn't just save you. Grace empowers you to do ministry. Grace helps you emotionally. Grace helps you financially. There are different types of grace. We're in a Game Changer series, which is a grace and mercy exploration. So grace, he tells them in so many words, he says, fan into flames the grace that God has put in you. What does that mean? I really believe that means give attention to it. Don't neglect it. Because what you'll find out is that in Scripture, if we neglect the grace of God will have all this power, but it'll be dormant. It will not manifest in our life. The more we give attention to it, watch this, the more it will grow in our life. Are y'all with me? Look at what it says right here in Mark chapter 4. I want to go here. Because today is going to be sort of practical and also a little bit of review, but I believe this is important in regards to our identity, that we don't neglect our identity. We don't neglect who we are in Christ. Look at what it says right here. Mark chapter 4, verse 4. It says, as he scattered it across his field, and you don't have this on outline, but just write it down and you can read it another time. It says, as he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was what? 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Now understand this. It grew after it was sown. Can I get an amen? You see increase. You see 30, you see 60, and even 100 times as much as been planted. And I'll jump down to verse 13. Jesus begins to explain this parable he gives. He says, then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. So what's the seed? The word of God. And he says, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. That's why it's so important, whether you're watching virtually or you're in here physically, that we don't just allow the word to pass by us, but we focus in on it and meditate on it. Because just as quick as you can receive it, it can be taken. And it says, and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. They might give a little shout, buck, and people have to come around then with throw cloths. Amen. And it says, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Now keep this in mind, because today we're focusing on God's word concerning our identity. But the Bible says, as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word, they fall away. And so many times we believe what God says about us till we run into problems. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like, we believe we're healed until the doctor says, I see something. Let me tell you, and I'm just going to say this to you, and there's a part of me, I have different sides of me, different gifts, I want to say, I'll make it spiritual, maybe God will back it, that rise up in me sometimes. There's a part of me that can be I can be very nice and very happy, but when it comes to elements like faith and healing, I can get very passionate. And I believe sometimes, I have a trouble, and I struggle too. And I know people ask me to pray for them in this area, and others might have asked you to pray for this, but sometimes people come to you and they say, you know what, pray for me that when I go to the doctor, they'll give me a good report. And I understand what they mean. They want the report to be good. But my question is, whose report will you believe? I can't. You know, the same doctor that says I see something will come back 2 weeks later and say, oops, we made a mistake. And you lost 2 weeks of sleep. You going, y'all not talking to me. You going through Harris Teeter every night and getting a big gallon of ice cream. You writing out your bucket list. You telling people my days are coming to an end. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And you come back 2 weeks later for the doctor and say, oops, we misinterpreted those results. And you were up all night biting your nails. If you got a spouse, keeping them up. Scared, nervous because of a misinterpreted report. So, yeah, I can pray that the doctor gives you a good report, but even if the doctor says you only have 4 weeks left, if God says you still got 20 years left, I'm going to believe what God says. I'm going to lean on his report rather than what the doctor says. And, again, people struggle with it. They say, Pastor, are you against science? No, I'm not against science. I wash my hands. I believe, trust me, if you know who I am, I believe. But I'm saying I believe in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if he backs science, I'm with him. Come on now. So I don't, when we run into problems, I say that to come back and say this, because the Bible says by his stripes we are healed. And sometimes we run into problems that make us feel, come on, say feelings, that make us feel like we're not healed. But I got to latch on to what God says about me, not about what my feelings say about me, not about what I see with my natural eyes, not because of what the opinions of man says. How many people were raised thinking that they were something that they weren't because of what a parent said to them, because of what an uncle said to them? Because of what an aunt said to them. An aunt said, girl, you gained a whole lot of weight, didn't you? You kind of big, ain't you? Or you kind of skinny. And that stuck in their mind. They said, you ain't going to never get a man with that. And that stuck in their mind. And you know what it translated to? Reject. Failure. What about the man? He can't stay on a job. And the woman, too. He can't stay on a job for any more than 2 years. And everywhere he goes, they keep on speaking negativity over his life. What are they releasing? Identity. And sometimes it's hard to believe what God says when you're running into those types of problems. You're losing your job. You keep getting rejected. You keep seemingly failing. You can't get accepted into the school. You can't ever get the job. Sometimes it begins to mess with your self-perception. But the devil is a liar today. I command every lying spirit to be broken off of your mind that would tell you what you're not, that would tell you anything except what God is saying. The Holy Spirit is the great revealer of identity, not the devil, because he'll have you questioning everything. I mean, Jesus had just come out of the waters of baptism. Here come the devil. First thing he says, if you be the Son of God. He had just heard the Father say, you're my son. But that's how the devil is, because you know what? As soon as you hear this word on identity, he's going to meet you out there in the parking lot probably. Y'all say, well, y'all should cast the devil out. Well, he might meet you out on the road. Come on now. And you're going to be driving in your car, and he's going to talk to you. He's going to say, you see what you just did? You just got angry at that person who tried to cross over in your lane. You ain't righteous. And you got to come back and tell the devil, listen, I am what God says I am. I don't base my faith and my righteousness on my works. I base it on God. And so we have to base what God says. So I got to keep moving because I got to get through this. But I think you all are getting the point that we can't allow our problems to define us. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. So no fruit is what? Produced. Verse 20, and the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Now, realize this point. I want to give you all this point, people of God. Not everybody produces the same level of fruit from the same word. We can all hear the same word but produce different levels of fruit. It says 30, 60, and 100-fold. Not everybody produces the same level. So when we hear a message of grace, it doesn't always translate into fruit for everybody the same way. That means somebody can be in church for 40 years straight, come in when the doors open, leave when the doors close, know all of the Christianese saying, I'm blessed of the Lord, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, and know all of the choir songs, we come this far by faith, leaning on the, and they know how to step just like that. They know all the steps, but they produce no fruit. I don't want to be a fruitless Christian. I don't know about y'all. I don't want to be a fruitless Christian. So here's the point. All of what you are called to do is locked up in Christ. And I believe it will be met in fullness when we produce the fruit through the Word of God. My point is saying that one of the reasons why we need to see the Scripture is because if we don't meditate on it, we're probably not going to manifest it. So meditation brings manifestation. When the word was sown, the devil came at once and he took it from them. So how long does the word sit in your heart? And sometimes I thank God for outlines, because you can go back and read over the notes, but we have to take advantage of the outlines. We got to go. We got YouTube, y'all. We got Facebook. Back in the day, they didn't have any of that. We can play the YouVersion in our car when we're driving. We can continuously meditate on the word, because it's about Memorial Day weekend and all that. That's great. But have you forgot what God said about you? We got to remember what God says about us, because I believe it's when we're meditating that we will see manifestation. So I say all that to say this. Are you meditating on who God says you are?
Enjoying our podcast? Well, we invite you to join us live Sundays at 11 a.m. Eastern. Tune in on Facebook or YouTube by searching Triad Christian Center, or visit our website, www.triadchristiancenter.org.
And now, announcements from Pastor Josh.
And we're actually going to have a Connect Day next Sunday. This is a time for those that are new members, or want to be new members, I should say, to connect with us. So I want to encourage you to do so. So easy to forget it, especially when you go back to that bondage you said you'll never go back to, and you sing that song, Lord, I'm available. You sing it over and over. You sing, I give myself away, but then you take yourself back every single day. There's a lot of songs we sing that we struggle because we never really live what we're singing. You're not, okay, let me keep going. I don't want to keep singing songs that I can't live. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Except when football season comes up. Except when I get that deal on fashion. I get a new fashion, new clothes come out. I love you more, but I don't love you more than the new Jordans. I love you more, but Instagram gets all my time today. Amen. Don't let somebody DM me. Oh, my goodness. Say amen. Pastor, I thought this was a message of grace. It is. Stay with me. I think sometimes we, when it comes back to identity, people of God, realizing who we are, it starts with knowing who we are. That's critical. It's not just about living for God. It's about God living through us for him. See, we don't just live for God, because last time I checked, Joshua was messed up from the floor up. But in Christ, I live for God, because God is living through me for him. So is God living through me for him? It's not me trying to live for him. That's identity, because in Christ, I am a new creature. Let me keep going. So it says, don't forget it, don't neglect it, don't ignore it. And then I'll go to the scripture, Romans 4, verse 17, because I want to read here. I read it Tuesday night, but I want to read it again, because I believe this is really a picture of grace. The life of Abraham. It says, that is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. And another version, it says he speaks those things that are not as though they are. So God has this way of speaking things over you that are not yet existent or manifesting. You know, the Bible says faith is perceiving as real those things that are unseen. There are unseen realities. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it ceases to be real. So there's a part of you that you haven't even seen yet, potentially. But you gotta latch on to it with your faith in Christ Jesus. So this is the thing that I want to connect you. So he says, and who creates new things out of nothing, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. Why did he believe that? For God has said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith, I got this in bold, did not weaken. Actually, just the part about when it says 100 years. But even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Now, let me ask you a question, people of God. When is the last time you heard a 90-year-old talking about, I'm getting ready to have another one. I'm expecting. You don't hear these things. They don't even expect to have a child. They're not having baby showers and gender reveals. They're not doing that. When was the last time you seen a 90-year-old? I mean, you don't see a 90-year-old having a baby shower. You don't see an 80-year-old having a baby shower. Somebody said, thank the Lord. I said a lot of things, but they said, thank the Lord. Now, I did see on YouTube. Now, I know some of you are going to go to YouTube. You're going to find a 70-year-old to have a baby. That's not normal, people of God. I'm telling you right now. I did hear about one senior citizen having a child. That's not normal, though. So I say that to come back and say this, that it's possible, but it's going to take a whole lot of God, I believe, to have that. And Abraham was in a place where it could not have happened. He could not have been a father again except the help of God. And it is a picture of grace, because grace does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Grace produces for us what we cannot produce for ourselves. We can't produce an Isaac in and of ourselves. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to produce an Isaac. Galatians 4 says that Sarah, through the power of the Holy Spirit, birthed Isaac. Say amen. So we see Abraham here. He's got this word over his life, but he's got this body that's dead. He's got a dead body, but a living word. Let me say it again. He's got a dead body, but a living word. Death is just simply something ceasing to fulfill its purpose. What happens when God says you're holy, but you're still cussing people out like you're a seller? Oh, y'all not talking to me. Because y'all know we got some cussing Christians. And I know people that, where is that in Scripture? Okay, let's say it's cool. Okay, we'll get off of cussing. We got some fornicating Christians. Can I get an amen? Y'all ain't talking to me. You can lead a revival service and have the ungodly connection. Shout, dance, and then you say, where are we going to meet? And so when the church, they say, oh, my goodness, how dare they say that about this person? I didn't think they would do this. I thought they were a man of God. I thought they were a preacher of the word. But there was a glitch in their power. And everybody can glitch. If we forget who we are, we can glitch. Let me say this to you. There's a difference sometimes between God can use you, Samson, and you still end up with Delilah. He can use you. He was in the lap of Delilah, and he kept getting up fighting off the Philistines. He still had his power. It's when he messed with his consecration, which is a whole nother story. But my point in saying all that is that, people of God, we have to make sure that our identity is based in God. What happens when he calls you pure, but you're still full of bitterness? When you walk into a certain setting or a scene, you go the opposite direction. That whole person manipulates everywhere you sit for the whole duration of that event. Everywhere they go, you go the opposite. See, that's bitterness. But then God still calls you pure? Yeah. That's a dead situation. Because some of us, there's some bitterness in our heart. Can I argue? You can't get rid of it without the help of God. There are some practices that we're doing right now, not just fornication, pornography. You can't get rid of it without the help of God. And there are some people, they're very disciplined in every other area of their life. But when it comes to that one thing, they can't shake it. They said, how could they do? They were so disciplined in every other area of their life, but that one thing. That's why it's important to be humble and to say, Lord, this area is not right. I'm not walking in pride. I confess it, and I get somebody else to confess it too. Because that's how that grace begins to kickstart in your life. Now, Now, let me just say this because I got to go. I y'all can tell I'm really passionate about this message. I really honestly could preach the gospel every year if God would grace me. But I know there are other areas I want to be a balanced preacher and teacher of the word. But I believe this is so important in this season because I believe that Corona can tell you who you are. Financial crisis can tell you who you are. But the question is, what does God say about who you are? Don't lose yourself in the storm. Say amen. I'm going to keep going. So Abraham looked at his body. His body was dead. His situation was dead. Like some of us, our situation is dead. He was 100 years old. God talking about he going to be a father. God, what you talking about? Not only was he talking about he going to be a father, Bible said he figured his body was as good as dead, and he went on and threw his wife under the bus too. He said, and so was Sarah's womb. Well, he didn't say it, but you know, in that scripture. He did say it in Genesis 17, but in the scriptures kind of retelling. It says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. What if you looked at somebody's Instagram profile and they were 90 years old? First of all, if you're 90 years old on Instagram, God bless you. But they 90 years old, they went through the Great Depression, they went through the Civil Rights Movement, they went through all that. And you see them putting on the post, my child is coming any day now. You say, what? The devil is a liar. Abraham was a man of faith that believed what God said. And I'm not going to say he was perfect because the Bible says in Genesis 17 that he laughed. He was in disbelief. And I want to go there really quickly because I got to close and I'm going to give you these points really quickly. He said he laughed. How many of y'all have had God to say some stuff over your life and you laugh because you didn't believe it can come true? Don't look so sanctified. Please don't. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. At this, Abraham fell face down on the ground. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of many nations or of a multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. In the KJV, it says, for I have made you the father of many nations. I want you to notice this. Before God changed the game for Abraham, he changed his name. Before he changed the game, he changed his name. He wanted to put in his mouth a different name. He wanted to change his perception, I believe, by giving him another name. He changed his name in order to change the game, which speaks of identity. Because it's important that before God ever changes the game in our situation, I believe the way he does it is by changing our name. What we call ourselves, how we see ourselves. God could have very easily just made him into Abraham, but God put the extra, and he says, what's more, I'm going to change your name. And he didn't just change Abram's name, he changed Sarah's name too. He changed both of their names before they manifested Isaac. What do I believe he was trying to do? He was trying to instill identity in them. And so Abraham is the father of the faith. So if we are to be like him, then I believe that means we have to hold on to an identity that sometimes doesn't make sense to us in the natural. We have to hold on to the identity that sometimes in the physical doesn't look like it'll ever come to fruition. So he changed his name. He said, I'm going to change your name, brother. It's going to be Abraham. It's going to be Abraham. So there are a couple of things that I want to give you about identity because I've already given to you, but I want to share a couple points that we should know about our God-given identity that I believe are very critical. Number one, God through his grace gives us identity. God through his grace, gives identity. It's the grace of God that gives us this identity that we have in Christ Jesus. You say, I don't like who I used to be. It's okay. God's giving you a new identity. You can start again. So the Bible says in 1 Peter 2, verse 10, once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. God gives, through his grace, identity. Number two, godly identity is found in Christ. Godly identity is found in Christ. It's not found in your race. Thank God for Black Lives Matter. I thank God for being black and I'm proud. Amen. But God gives us identity in Christ Jesus. Our identity is locked in Christ. So God gives it to us and it's found in Christ Jesus. Now let me say this to you. For all of those, and I'm just going to say this, the affirmation people. Thank God, as I said, for affirmations. But the devil can never say, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Because it's not true. So my confession has to be lined up with truth. As much as I say, hey, Mon, I can never say I'm Jamaican. As much as I can talk like this, it don't mean I'm from New York. So the devil can never say, I'm going to heaven one day. He can never say that. He ain't going. He's not going to live with Jesus forever. He can confess it all day long. So when we talk about this identity and kind of coming into agreement with what God says about us, we have to come in agreement with what he says in his word and by his spirit. It has to be based on truth, and that truth is found in Jesus. That's why it's important. I thank God for all the characters in the Bible, but let me tell you this. Everybody don't have the same portion, per se. Everybody doesn't have the same role, let me say it like this, per se. So that means just because David experienced doesn't mean I have to experience the same thing. I can experience something totally different. So that's why it's so important that our relationship goals, can I get an amen? I'm sorry, I ain't going to go there. No, I'm not going to go there. And our business goals, we have to be careful that we're not identifying with somebody of the flesh more than we are Jesus. It's important that we know who we are. It's amazing that sometimes we're more inspired, and I'm not saying because God loves them, by worldly character than we are by godly character. We'll post something quicker about a relationship of people who are not even sanctified, who are not even saved, who don't even love Jesus, but that's our relationship goals. How is that possible for a believer when Christ should be the head of the man and then the man is the head of the wife? That doesn't even make sense. It's because we don't know. We don't know who we are. And we're settling for anything, but you're called to a higher level of living. And no shade to those who are still in that lifestyle, because they're called as well as they get in Christ Jesus. But God gives us this grace, or God gives us this identity by grace. Number two, godly identity is found in Christ. The Bible says our real life is actually found in Christ. It's actually hidden in Christ, according to Colossians 3, verse 1 through 3. Like, your real life is hidden in Christ. Number three, identity in Christ is being realized, or excuse me, identity in Christ being realized and focused on helps to bring manifestation in our everyday life. I believe this is shown by Abraham. When he realized who he was, as God said it, then it began to bring about a manifestation. He got that first word about 99 years old, but it wasn't until around 100 years old that he had the child. The angel said, about this time next year, Your wife, Sarah, will have a baby. So how long did it take? Maybe 9 months to 12 months of him realizing who he was in the spirit before it manifested in the flesh. And sometimes, people of God, it takes a while for what's showing up in the spirit to manifest in the flesh. Say amen. He looked at his body. It looked new. No, it still looked old. He said, I looked at my feet. They look new, too. Nope, they're still the same feet and got the same corns on them. Can I get it? We sing songs, but it's not even. Your body is the last member of you to be delivered and redeemed and to manifest salvation. There are three parts of you. Say body, soul, spirit. Your body is the last part of you to experience the redemption of Christ. And that's going to happen when we get glorified bodies. So the whole process of what we call sanctification is, number one, realizing who we are in Christ. And it's causing our spirit to take the lead, and then our soul follows behind it, and then our body follows behind our soul. That's why I believe the psalmist can say, bless the Lord. Y'all not talking to me. Oh, my soul. That's why the psalmist can say, I will. Even if you don't feel like it, it don't matter what your body feel like. You got to make up in your mind that I will. I make a dedication. My soul will lead my body. But the problem that happens is that our body begins to lead our soul. And Abraham saw his body was as good as dead, but he didn't allow his dead body to lead him. He allowed, I believe, his soul to lead him, his spirit, what the word of God to lead him. And it says that Abraham kept believing, even though he saw his body was as good as dead. See, Eve got in trouble, I believe, because she based her lifestyle off of what she saw physically. She began, I believe, let her body lead her. And she got out of whack. She began to let her soul, instead of the Holy Spirit, instead of God, she allowed the wrong thing to lead her. There's nothing wrong with having a body, soul, and spirit, but you got to make sure your spirit is in first place. That's what happens with the Christ identity. The identity of Christ is in your spirit, and it takes time. Number four, identity in Christ flows from the spirit to the physical body. It starts off in your spirit. Then it goes to your physical body. It starts off where? In your spirit. Then it goes to your physical body. And that's how God can say you're holy, but then he also says, be ye holy. Wait a minute, God, I thought I was already holy. Why are you telling me to be holy? Because there's a part of you that's still not holy yet. So you are pure, but then, yes, it's true you're pure, and then it's also true that you're not pure. Because the part of you that's pure has got to translate to the part of you that's not pure. That's why the Bible says, don't let sin rule over your mortal bodies. I thought we were delivered from sin. Why are you telling me don't let sin rule over my mortal bodies? Because you are free in the spirit, but you're not free yet in your body. Your soul is not yet free. That's why it says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's your soul. See, what's in your spirit got to transfer to your soul. And then what's in your soul got to transfer to your body. To where when you walk on a job, when they see you, they see Jesus. You're not talking to me. And that's what's got to happen. There's got to be a translation from the spirit to the body. So in the spirit, Abraham was a father of many nations. But it took about a year for it to manifest in his body. And one day he said, oh my goodness, Sarah, something came over me. And the next thing you know, came a baby named Isaac, because it translated by faith from the spirit to his body. That's the game changer right there. But it won't happen if we keep forgetting what God says about us. Every day, I believe he was reminded, you know, now I know Sarah called him Master and Lord, but I believe God said, you will be called. In other words, this is how you're going to identify yourself. This is how you're going to perceive yourself. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are dead to sin. Even though you went back in it 100 times yesterday, you're still dead to sin. You're still alive in God through Christ Jesus. I know you still cuss some people out, but you're still alive. You got to hold on to it, to what's in the spirit manifests in the flesh, and your flesh submits to the spirit of God. And some of you even today, you're struggling because you say, Pastor, I keep going back in it. But I want to encourage you, like Abraham, to keep believing, even when there's no hope, even when everything seems dead in your marriage, even when everything seems dead in your finances, even when everything seems dead on your job. Keep believing what God says about you, because God's truth trumps your experience. Come on, if you believe it, give a shout of praise to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Come on, stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Come on, bondages are being broken. Addictions are being broken. Confusion is being broken. Depression is being broken. In the name of Jesus, I cast it out in Jesus' mighty name. Woo. Every suicidal spirit be broken in the name of Jesus. Every lying spirit that says it's over, I declare it's broken in the name of Jesus. You are what God says you are. You are what God says you are. Don't forget. Don't forget. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're listening today, or you even in this room, you say, you know what? I don't know who I am. More importantly, I've never received that new identity in Christ. Because I've never made Jesus my ruler. I've never made him my master. But today I want to receive identity in Christ. This is your moment. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I believe you died in my place. And when you died, I died with you. When you were buried, I was buried with you. My old man, through you, Jesus, can be crucified. And I also believe that you rose from the dead, and that with you, I rose as well. That as I believe in you, everything you paid for me to have, I can begin to manifest it in my life because of your grace. Jesus, I make you master, and I make you ruler, and I ask you to free me from bondage, addiction, and every demonic power. Free me from the power of sin. And from this day forth, I will never be the same again. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, everybody, say amen. If you believe it and you receive it. Hallelujah. Listen, I speak healing over every person that's watching today. I declare your physical bodies align even now with the word of God over your life. I just speak healing, Father, into physical bodies right now. Pain, go. I pray even now, Father, elements with bones will be healed and they will be restored even now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for this right now. And aneurysms, Father, I pray even now they'll be removed, Father. I pray even now that brain health is coming even now, Father. I speak health over brains, Father, people's brain issues with the brain. I speak healing right now in the name of Jesus. Restoration and wholeness. Woo! Ha! Yeah, Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, say amen. Amen. Listen, if you believe what God says about you, give a shout of praise. I want this series to bombard you with your identity in Christ. I want you to be so baptized and saturated with who you are that when the devil tries to come up, he can't even take it from you. Because you know who you are. Listen, we're about to go. Remember today at 1:30 p.m. we have our Connect Day. For those who like to connect to this ministry in a further way, I want to encourage you to do so. If you made a decision for Christ, let us know in the chat box. This is the greatest decision you can ever make. But listen, we have an opportunity to give, and I do thank you for those who've been supporting this ministry financially. I declare God's blessing, manifest blessing over you. Listen, there's a couple ways you can give. Number one, you can give by texting in your phone 336-203-0708. You can also type in your dollar amount after that. Then next, you can go to triadchristiancenter.org, click on online giving, and then from there you can give. And then thirdly, you can mail in your offering at 4321 Barrel Road, High Point, North Carolina. You can mail in your offering that way. And if you're here, you can give on your way out. And thank God for all that showed up today. Amen. As you leave out, you can give to your left. God bless you. Amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. God bless you.
Thank you for attending the Love University at Triad Christian Center with your host and professor, Pastor Joshua Lockett. We pray that today's message encouraged you to love God, love yourself, and love others. If you have accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, congratulations! You have made the best decision of your life, and we want to celebrate and connect with you. Text Follow Christ to 81411. Are you over social distancing? We have plenty of ways for you to connect and engage with our ministry online. Visit us on Twitter and Instagram at Triad Christian, Facebook, Triad Christian Center, or on our website, triadchristiancenter.org, for more information. We look forward to connecting with you. If you would like to give to our ministry, you may do so by texting 336-203-0708 with any amount, or visit our website, triadchristiancenter.org/online_giving. Lastly, you may send it by mail to 4321 Barrow Road, High Point, North Carolina, 27265, and make all checks payable to Triad Christian Center. Until next time, know that we love you. Be blessed and stay safe.